So it's been 20 years since she began telling stories here in the Pittsburgh area. And, you know, I've known Allison for a long time, but I haven't really gotten into the Allison Papushi story. Are you a Pittsburgh native?
I am. I grew up in Highland Park, and my first storytelling was at my parents' bookstore. They used to own Mystery Lovers Bookshop, my mother and stepfather, on Allegheny River Boulevard, and I came home from graduate school the first time and said, I want to be a storyteller. And they said, really? My mother actually said, you've been a storyteller since you could talk. But that was the official start with some ghost stories, because that seemed to fit the bill at the mystery bookstore.
And do you remember why you wanted to be a storyteller? Did you see a storyteller somewhere?
No, actually, when I went to graduate school the first time, it was for children's theater. It's not, I did not finish that degree. I finished a different degree later. But I was not really very happy with the program I was in. And so through a strange thing, I said, I'm going to sign up for classes off campus, and then I'm going to move back from Arizona. So I saw a class called Storytelling. Took the class, didn't know anything about it, and the rest is history, as they say. The gentleman who was the teacher sort of pulled me aside and said, you have a gift? And I said, people really do this for a job? I could do this? And he said, yeah, they do. And so that's when I became aware of the National Storytelling Association and everything that goes with it, and started telling stories in bookstores and libraries and birthday parties and museums. Also are sort of my specialty because of my, you know, that I'm an art teacher as
yeah.
well. So that's how I sort of mix my art teaching and storytelling. I love to tell stories in the museum galleries.
That's got to be a great way to manage a classroom occasionally too.
It is. It's a very handy tool to have in the classroom.
Now, I know today you're going to be sharing, I think, some stories based in folklore.
Yes.
Have you written any contemporary stories or developed contemporary stories? Because as a teacher, I would think you would have so many experiences to draw from. And also as an artist, you are observing the world constantly.
Yeah. Well, my first appearance at First Night actually was back when it turned to the millennium year. And we were all thinking it was the big New Year's Eve. I did my one-woman show called Deconstructing Barbie. And that is my original show that I wrote. That's really sort of my life story and stories about my relationship with my fabulous mother and growing up with a feminist mom who forbid me to have Barbie dolls, and it sort of starts there. So that's my original story that I've sort of told. I do have a few that I've written about my own childhood that I share with kids in my classroom, one about being a very picky eater, which I am to this day. And right now, funny you should mention it, because I am working on a new program and I've just been trying out some new teaching stories, because you're right, a lot of funny things happen in the classroom, and I've been sort of gathering those stories for years.
I'm reading a book right now, and I'm sorry I can't remember the name of it, but it's a fellow in Canada who taught for 10 years and also is a stand-up comic. And it's a book about his experiences teaching. He was a phys ed teacher, and he talks about being a substitute as well as his first full-time gig as a teacher. And it's a really funny book.
Yeah, I've got to get my hands on that, because certainly I won't be the first to tell stories about the funny things that happen in classrooms, but there's no shortage of them. So
yeah, I will find the name for that.
Fantastic.
He's known as Mr. D. His last name starts with D. I just can't think of his full name right now, and I found it quite accidentally. You're able to hear, I hope, okay?
I hear you. I'm not so much really hearing me through the headphones.
Oh,
I'm just hearing me, hearing me, but
that's
okay. I'll
try to fix that. So you've got a story.
I do. For New Year's Eve, I started to think about what stories are really most appropriate for New Year's Eve. And I thought about, you know, we all want to put our best foot forward when we start into a new year. So I thought some folk tales that maybe have some lessons about friendship and how to be kind to others, certainly in the world today going into 2015. I think we're all thinking about spreading some kindness. So that is sort of what this story is about. Now, I told you I switched three times which story I was going to tell today. And this is a story that has something about neighbors in it. And something struck a chord with coming to the Children's Museum this morning. And I was a Fred Rogers kid. He was my favorite neighbor. So it seemed like an appropriate story to tell today.
Now, before Allison shares this story with you, let me just note that for the first time ever, Trinity Cathedral is part of the footprint of First Night, which is December 31st, New Year's Eve. And you can hear and see Allison with a number of stories, First Night Pittsburgh, on New Year's Eve at 7 p.m. and then again at 8:45 p.m. There's so many things happening as part of First Night. If you go to firstnightpgh.org, you can learn more. firstnightpgh.org. I'm going to sit back and relax. I hope you will too, unless you're driving. Just keep driving and don't relax too much, but enjoy Allison Vavbushi.
So I have to give credit where credit is due. This is a folktale. Yes, it is an American folktale, but Pleasant de Spain is the storyteller who sort of brought it back into storyteller's lexicon, and we've all sort of borrowed it, but he asks to be credited there. And, well, it's one of my favorites. It's called Old Joe and the Carpenter. Now, Old Joe lived way, way out in the countryside, and he had one good neighbor. And it just so happens that he and his neighbor had been the best of friends their whole life long. But now their spouses were dead and buried, their children were raised, and they had moved on to homes of their own. So all these two gentlemen really had left were their farms, well, and of course one another, and their great friendship. But for the first time, they had had an argument. Now, it was a silly argument over a stray calf that neither one of them really needed, and it seems that the calf had wandered onto Joe's neighbor's land, and so he claimed it was his, but Joe said, no, 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 it's mine, and, well, they were both a bit stubborn, and I'm afraid they just stopped talking to one another. That happened about a week before, and it seemed that a dark cloud hung over old Joe ever since then. But one morning, there was a knock at the door. Now, he wasn't expecting anybody that morning, but he opened up his door and he saw a young man who had a box of tools over his shoulder, and he had deep eyes and a kind voice, and he said, "Hello, I'm a carpenter. I'm looking for a bit of work. Maybe you have some small jobs I can help out with." Well, old Joe wasn't the kind of guy to just take someone in right off. He wanted to get to know this young man a little bit better, so he invited him in to have some homemade bread that he was just finishing up and some fresh churned butter and some stew. Well, while they were eating and talking and getting to know each other a bit better, Joe decided he did indeed like this young fellow, and so he said, "I do have a job for you. Look right there through my kitchen window. You see that farm over there? Well, that's my neighbor's place. Now, do you see that creek running right down there between our two property lines? Well, that wasn't there last week. My neighbor did that just to spite me. He took his plow up there, he dug a big old furrow, and he wants us to be divided. So I tell you what, I want you to build me a fence. A big, tall fence. So I won't even have to look at his place no more." Well, the carpenter looked through the window and he said, "If you have the lumber and the nails, I've got my tools, and I think I'll do a job that you'll like." "Well, fine," said Joe. Now, he had to run into town to do some errands. He showed the carpenter where everything was that he would need in the barn, and he took off. And the carpenter went right to work. And his work was smooth and fast. He did his measuring, he did his sawing, his hammering, his nails, and it was almost sunset when he was finishing up. Old Joe was just coming up the road, and when he looked, well, his eyes opened wide and his mouth fell open. Because there wasn't a fence there at all, but a bridge going from one side of the creek to the other. It had beautiful, curving, sanded handrails and, oh, it was a fine piece of work, and wouldn't you know, there was his neighbor walking across the bridge with his hands stuck out, and he was saying, "Oh, Joe, you are quite a fella to build this bridge. Now, I'd have never been able to do that. Too stubborn, you know, but I'm so glad we're going to be friends again, Joe." Well, Joe was just about speechless, but he stuck out his hand and said, "You know, that old calf, you can have her. I just want to be your friend, too." And the two of them embraced, and they were all smiles, and that's when Joe remembered the carpenter, and he turned around, and, well, the carpenter was already walking away down the driveway. And Joe said, wait, come on back here, young fellow. You should stay on with us. I know we've got plenty of projects for you. But the carpenter just smiled and said, oh, I'd like to stay on, Joe, thank you. But you see, I can't. I've got many more bridges to build.
What a great story. That's Allison Babushi. And you can hear perhaps that story and others
that
as
one
well.
And others, and you'll be able to see some puppets that you can't see on the radio with some of my stories on First Night too.
That sounds great. Do you make your puppets?
I do. That's another way I smoosh together my art teaching and my storytelling.
I was going to ask you, where did you go to school?
My undergrad, I have a theater degree from American University, and then I have the little bit of time in children's theater at Arizona State University, and ultimately I went to Bank Street College of Ed, has a very unique program with Parsons School of Design for teachers, so I was able to go and earn a master's in 3 summers. It was sort of like an expensive summer camp for grown-ups. It was really fun. We did our art classes at Parsons in the studios there, and the educational leadership classes at Bank Street, and... And then I came back and actually went to Chatham to add on the art teaching certification.
Oh, that's great. Because there might be people, you know, wondering about career paths. And
sure. A lot of storytellers, I think, come out of the librarian profession as well. But, I mean, they're all over the place. Probably someone out there has a grandma who's a storyteller or a great uncle who's a great storyteller.
Yeah, there are so many that are out there. And a lot of attorneys, teachers,
true.
People that just like to... tell and share, and kids are some great storytellers too. And
indeed,
as your parents, your mom told you you were a natural.
Yes.
From the time, you know.
Yes.
Make a little excuse, or not an excuse, maybe, but an explanation. Well, look for Allison. She will be at Trinity Cathedral downtown Pittsburgh.
I'm very excited. It should be a beautiful setting.
Yeah, it should be a terrific
and warm inside.
Yes. 7 p.m. And 8:45 p.m. New Year's Eve. Now, I'll be here at the museum. We do this special thing here at the museum. We celebrate New Year's at 12 noon.
Oh, nice.
On New Year's Eve. It's not only good for the kids, but Ricky and I actually like it, too.
Yeah, I bet.
Once again, I think for the fourth or fifth straight year, I'll be counting down the seconds until 12 noon, along with another great Pittsburgh storyteller, Tim Hartman. And I will count down the moments until 12 noon. Lee Robinson will be here playing music, including Auld Lang Syne. We'll celebrate at noon. Then the museum will be open for more fun. Then you can skedaddle over to downtown
Pittsburgh. Come on
Pittsburgh
over to First Night, yes.
And get a chance to hear Allison. And there's a complete schedule.
So many things going on for families and children.
Yeah, if you go to firstnightpgh.org, you'll see everything that you need to know. Allison, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Larry. So excited
One,
to be
two,
here.
Three, four.